we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, if we've been reconciled to God through Jesus, if we've been adopted as children of God, if we've been raised and seated with Christ, if we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, we cannot keep living the way we used to. The old has gone, the new has come.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today as we continue in our series in the book of Ephesians. We're talking about this radical new way of life. Now, Pastor Philip, you just gave us the truth about what happens to us when we're in Christ. But some people may be asking themselves, well, why can't I live the way I used to anymore? What's so wrong with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul is trying to show us the beauty of this new life we have in Christ, in contrast to the old way of life. And you can think of it almost like somebody that maybe had a really worn out set of clothes that's just trashed, you know, dirty, smelly, gross. And someone gets them a new set of clothes, tailor-made, beautiful, perfect in every way, right? Once they put on those new clothes, they're just not going to go back, right? It's that old set of rags, they just don't fit. They're not good. They're gross. Why would I ever go back to what I used to have when I have something new and beautiful and glorious? That's the imagery Paul's going to talk about. He's going to say, put off the old garment, the old way of life. Put on the new life you have in Christ. Once you realize how much God has done to save you and redeem you and change your life, there's no going back. It just doesn't fit anymore to keep living the old way of life. And so that's the motivation that Paul's giving us, that Christ has done everything. Now live like it. It should change everything.
Well, let's hear more as we go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church to hear more of the beauty of the new life we've been called into. This is the second part of the sermon, New Life. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 17 through chapter 5, verse 2.
Have you ever wondered why your desires are so often overridden? Your desires so often override your better judgment? Have you ever wondered why does that even happen? It's ironic, as human beings, we think of ourselves as these hyper-rational creatures. We even named ourselves Homo sapiens, the wise being, right? But the reality is, and this is what Paul is pointing out, that apart from grace, in our fallen human condition, we are largely ruled by our desires. Here's how it works. What the heart desires, the will embraces, the mind rationalizes, and then the conscience justifies. So what the heart desires, the will embraces, the mind rationalizes, and then the conscience justifies. That's how you end up buying a car you can't afford, right? Your heart desires it. So your will embraces it. I gotta have that, right? Your mind rationalizes it. I needed something more reliable, and my repair bill on my old car was equal to a car payment, so it made sense. I got low interest. I deserve to treat myself, you know? And then your conscience justifies it. You know, I really made a wise investment here. It was a good choice. I really needed this, you know? It's the right thing to do, right? It's astounding, isn't it? It's astounding how your reason was given by God to you to help you see reality so that you could make objective, wise choices. That's why God gave you rationality. But you see what's happened? Your rationality has been pressed into service of your desires, pressed into rationalizing whatever it is you wanted to do in the first place. We become masters of self-delusion. Human beings are masters of self-delusionary thinking. This is how we're wired. This is why 90% of the people surveyed mark themselves down as above average drivers. Statistically impossible, right? 90% of people cannot be over average drivers, right? But we'd all think we are. This is our self-delusional thinking. And those are funny examples, but it can get really serious. I know a guy who walked out on his wonderful bride and his three kids a few years ago to marry his mistress. He just tore his beautiful family to shreds. And I asked him, "How can you do this?" And he said, "I deserve to be happy." See, what the heart desires, the will embraces, the mind rationalizes, and the conscience justifies. Now, all these years later, he's ditched his second wife for another fling, and he's become one of the most miserably self-deluded people I know. And he can give you all the reasons why he's in the right and everyone else is in the wrong, and any objective person can clearly see the self-destructive pattern he's in. Friends, that's futility of mind. That's darkened understanding. That's alienation from the life of God. That's ignorance due to the hardness of our hearts. That's corruption through deceitful desires. You see that? And Paul says that's how we once lived. Apart from grace, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we were ruled by our appetites, we were dominated with self-deception and left to ourselves. Apart from grace, we were falling into dehumanizing self-destructive patterns. We were caving in on ourselves. And Paul's point is this: we cannot keep living the way we used to. We cannot keep living the way we used to. Oh, it might be familiar. It might be habitual, it might be comfortable, it might be socially acceptable. But if we've been brought from death to life, if we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, if we've been reconciled to God through Jesus, if we've been adopted as children of God, if we've been raised and seated with Christ, if we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, we cannot keep living the way we used to. The old has gone, the new has come. So from old to new, look at verse 20. "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." There's two sets of images here that are very fascinating. The first one is a classroom setting, right? That is not the way you learned Christ. So here you are in the classroom, and what is the subject matter you're learning? Christ. He says, look, you may have learned to live like a Gentile from the Gentiles, but that's not how you learned Christ. Christ is your new pattern. He's your new template. He's your new curriculum. And he's your new tutor in the school of life. From Jesus, you are receiving a new education. Every moment of every day is an opportunity to be with Jesus and to learn from him how to do life. Class is in session. What's on the chalkboard, Paul? What are we learning today? Three lessons. One, to put off your old self. Two, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And three, to put on the new self. Put off, be renewed, put on. The second image here is a wardrobe. A wardrobe. You go to your closet, you take off the old garment, the dirty one, that's soiled and frayed and has holes in the armpits, right? You take that one off, that old Gentile life that doesn't fit anymore. You set it aside and you put on a new garment, fresh and whole and clean, tailor-made for the new life that is yours in Jesus Christ. This garment created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says, look, you leave those Gentile rags on the floor where they belong. You've got new godly threads to wear out into your fresh new life. And your wardrobe is divine. It's divine. You're going to be dressed in true righteousness and holiness after the likeness of God. You know, when those stars walk the red carpet, they always stick the microphone in their face and they say, who are you wearing, right? Who are you wearing? Tell us who gave you this wonderful look, this designer style. And friends, that's the question. Who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Are you wearing a Gentile knockoff? Or are you wearing a God-tailored masterpiece? Your new self is created in the likeness of God, true righteousness and holiness. Friends, this is God's signature style. You can recognize it from a mile away. It's a look that he himself created. It's a look that he himself wears, and he is clothing you in the garments of his own image and likeness in Jesus Christ. You're his sons and daughters. You're part of the family, and it's only fitting that you would dress the part, right? And at the very heart of this putting off and putting on is to be renewed here by the Spirit, renewed in the spirit of your minds, renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, this command here is a passive, continuous command. A little nerd moment for you. It's passive, continuous command. It's passive, which means it's not something you do to yourself. You can't renew yourself. This is something God's Spirit does in you. So you receive it. But it's a command. It's a command, so you have to obey it. So how do you obey a passive command? Well, it means you have to allow it. You have to allow him to do the work in you. You must receive it and welcome it in. You have to embrace the work that the Spirit is doing in you. And the Spirit here really should be capitalized. This is the Spirit who is renewing our minds. And it is a continuous command here, which means it is an ongoing process, not a once and done event. It will take day after day after day as the Spirit leads you. So putting it all together, what we have, if we wanted to paraphrase it, we would say, we are to put off the old self and put on the new self as we are actively receiving the ongoing Spirit-led renewal of our minds. As Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important. This is very important because Paul is describing spiritual transformation, not behavior modification. Paul is describing spiritual transformation, not behavior modification. If all we had here was put off and put on, we might be tempted to think that Paul was telling us simply try harder to be better people. But that's not what he's saying. Nestled between the put off and put on is this passive command to receive the renewing work of the Spirit in us, which is right smack in between the put off and the put on, which means at the heart of everything is Spirit-led transformation. The outward behavioral changes in our lives flow from the deep Spirit-led renewal that is taking place on the inside of who we are. So as we open ourselves up to the work of the Spirit, as we follow his lead, as we obey his call, as we surrender to his desires and will, we are putting off the old and we are putting on the new. This is the Spirit's journey that he's taking us on, and we are to keep in step with the Spirit. The old Gentile rags just don't fit anymore. We've outgrown them. They're pulling in the arms, and they're tight in all the wrong places, and they have holes, and they're just inadequate, and they don't fit. But our new godly threads, well, they start to become increasingly comfortable. We feel more at home day by day as we grow into the people we were always meant to be. So we have a whole new life to live into, friends. We have a whole new life to live into. We are children of God. We are members of His forever family. We are beloved by the Father. We are redeemed by the Son. We are sealed by the Spirit. We are a people of the new creation, of the kingdom that is coming. And we have a whole new life to live into.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today as we paint a picture of the beauty of the life that we have in Christ. Pastor Philip, good to see you as always. I was sitting here as I was listening to the sermon and thinking, well, what if somebody came to saving faith late in life, and then you have someone else who came to saving faith early in life? This old life, this new life, not quite the same for them, or is it?
Yeah, well, you could think that, right? That there's like, let's say the story of the prodigal son, right? So you got the younger brother who goes off and he has a very messy testimony, right? He's got a lot of problems, and then he comes to himself and he comes home. And so that's a very high contrast between the old way of life and the new way of life in terms of his conversion story, right? Yes. So that would be very consistent with what Paul's saying here. You used to live this way, and now you live this way. And then you have the older brother. And in that story in Luke 15, the way Jesus frames it, both sons are actually estranged from the father. The older brother has a terrible attitude. He does not have a good relationship with his father. He's yelling and screaming at the end. But he's morally been pretty good, so he didn't run away. And so the contrast between his life when he's at home doing the right things, farming and keeping his nose clean, if he reconciles with his father, if he makes things right at the end of the parable, which it ends and we don't know how it ends, right? But if he were to reconcile with the father and respond to his invitation, the contrast in terms of behaviors might not be as big like the younger brother between the mess and the pigsty and reconciliation and the robe and the ring and he's at home with the party. But the contrast in terms of behaviors might not be that strong, but the contrast in his heart would be huge in the older brother's case, right? Between anger and entitlement and bitterness and self-righteousness to loving dependency, surrender, humility, and obedience, like that would be a very different posture, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think what we need to recognize, and this is what Paul's doing in Romans when he says the Gentiles need grace because we're all sinners, and so do the Jews who have been keeping the law, but they need grace and they need forgiveness because they're sinners too. We're all sinners under the law, and we all need grace before God. So he makes it all equal. The problem is the same. If we're not living in right relationship with God, whether we're law-abiding and trying to be self-righteous and earn our way into our Father's good graces, or whether we've said, God, forget you, I'm going to go off and do my own thing. Either way, functionally underneath that is the same problem, which is estrangement from God.
Yes.
And I'm trying to live my own way. Even if I'm following the law or trying to be a good person before God, but I'm doing it to try to earn something, that's not grace. That's trying to build self-righteousness to earn my way, earn my keep. And so either way, we've got to lay it down. So the Gentiles, the younger brothers, they got to lay their sinfulness down. That's part of the old way of life. Older brothers, like the Jews, they've got to lay down their self-righteousness. Because the only way we're saved is by grace, through faith, in the finished work of Christ. Everyone gets in by grace. Jews and Gentiles alike, older brothers, younger brothers, it makes no difference.
Can't be earned.
Can't be earned.
That's interesting because our culture is so full of a lot of self-help and self-improvement kind of stuff. And even us, you know, we're talking about the beauty of this new life we have in Christ. The cosmetic industry in America is billions of dollars, but we're not talking about cosmetic or outward appearance or even self-help kind of things here, are we?
No, something far more beautiful than that. We're talking about deep heart transformation that only can be accomplished in the gospel. Paul says, put off and put on, but right in the middle, he says, be renewed by the power of the Spirit. And that it's a passive, in other words, something we receive, it's a passive verb, but it's a command, which means we have something to do in it, right? So in other words, we have to receive, we're commanded to surrender and receive what only God can do, this transformation. So I can't put off or put on unless I'm being transformed by the power of the Spirit on the inside. If all I'm trying to do is put off and put on, it is cosmetic, it is superficial, it's behavior modification, and it never works. If you try really, 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 really hard to be really, 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 really good, it's never going to work. You're going to run out of strength, run out of capacity. Your heart is not capable of being holy and righteous and pure 100% of the time. You can act that way for a little bit, but it will not ultimately change your heart. What we need is we need heart transformation by the power of the gospel. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the message of Jesus Christ, his power in our life. That's the only thing that's going to change us. And so it's not enough to just try to work on our behaviors. We've got to come to God and say, God, I need you to change my appetites, change what I want, change what I long for, change the interior function of my soul and my life so that my behaviors, the fruits of that, what's happening in my heart, start to bear on my life. And that's what Paul's talking about. Put off the old way of life because God made that your past. It's not yours anymore. Put on the new way of life, which is what God is working in you through the power of the Spirit. It's not just behaviors. It's heart transformation. It goes all the way down before it goes all the way out.
You touched on just briefly, though, that I have new desires now as a result of that.
Yeah.
That those things that I used to find fulfillment in, they just aren't doing it anymore. That has to come from a spiritual transformation, not just I'm going to change my friends.
It's a new kind of love, right? So like, say, for example, in my old way of life, I just wanted to be happy. I just wanted a quick fix. I just wanted a little jazz to spice up my life and just have a little happiness tonight, you know?
Yes.
Live for the moment, right? Desire-based living. In the gospel, God is changing my heart. He's changing what I want. I'm starting to desire things that are different. I'm starting to desire long-term health. I'm starting to desire beauty and purity and godliness. I want more than just a quick fix. I want something durable and lasting, and I want to be a different kind of person. Like, yes, those desires are coming from the Holy Spirit as he's transforming. So I'm not giving into the desires of my flesh, the quick fix. I want something better. I want righteousness, holiness, and life. And so that those are the symptoms of a life that's starting to change. And so that means I start putting off those old habits and I start putting on new things, new habits that are fitting with this new desire that God is birthing in me as I walk with the Spirit and yield to him.
Thank you, Pastor Philip. Man, wonderful insights today. Now, if you'd like to experience more of the beautiful life that we've been talking about today, this beautiful life in Christ, we have a resource that's available to you. I think it's going to be a blessing. Pastor Erwin Lutzer's brand new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, gives you heaven's perspective on unanswered prayer. In fact, as Pastor Lutzer notes, our redemption is founded on an unanswered prayer. During Jesus' last night before his death on the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What if we followed Jesus' way of life, trusting our trials have passed through the loving hands of our Father? For a limited time, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or call 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.